timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
Hey everyone, happy holidays and welcome to Pep Talk. Today we have Christine Albright, a former professional ballet dancer, with an incredible story about her recovery from MS after her doctors told her it was incurable. Also joining us is Femi, a relationship expert and the author of Revelations of Relationship. Well, first up, we have Christine Albright, who was diagnosed with MS at age 30 and was told that it was incurable and there were only expensive and invasive drugs to treat it, and she would have to live with it for the rest of her life. However, Christine took another path and has been symptom-free for 21 years. She is the author of an upcoming book, Heal Your Body, Heal Your Life, and also the founder of the Multiple Sclerosis Alternative Healing Center, and helps people worldwide heal from MS and other illnesses. So welcome, Christine.
Thank you, Sharky. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I know, first of all, I want to hear about your story. Now, you were a professional ballet dancer, right, for how many years?
I danced with Colorado Ballet and Ballet Denver for 15 years, since I was 10 until I was 21. And so a lot of my identity was in my physical abilities with ballet, and my strength and confidence was in those abilities. And then when I was diagnosed with MS, which was the greatest fear in my life, I was horrified of MS, because I lived in Colorado where they have 10 times more cases of MS than other parts of the country, and they don't know why. They just have a lot of theories as to why. Mm. But I was seeing a lot of my friends and colleagues be diagnosed with MS, and some of them ending up in wheelchairs, which was just horrifying to me as a dancer. And so, you know, I kind of was on the lookout for any symptoms or anything, but I lost sight in my left eye, and I didn't know that that was a symptom. And I went to the eye doctor, and he said, oh, it's just a virus in your eye, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And then it kept getting worse, and they gave me prednisone, which was a typical medication that they give people with MS when they lose sight in their eye, which is a typical symptom. And I had a horrible reaction to it because it's a male steroid in mm-hmm. my female body.
Yeah.
And my body just went berserk and had a really hard time with it. And I just heard my body screaming at me, never, ever give me that drug again. And I was like, oh, body, I'm so sorry that I gave that to you, or allowed them to give that to me. And so I dismissed the doctors because I knew that what they were going to do with medication, and I didn't want to do medication. I kind of had a sixth sense that the body knew how to heal itself, and they had told me that it was incurable, and the only treatment was these drugs, and that I would live with it the rest of my life. And I just knew, I've always had a sixth sense since I was a child about things. I was kind of clairvoyant, and I just knew things that were going to happen before they happened. And I just knew that this could be healed, and that what they were telling me, that it was incurable, was not the truth, that there was a way to heal it, but I didn't know how at the time. So I dismissed the doctors and decided to go it on my own and just listen to my body and listen to it tell me what it needed for me to do to heal. And the first thing I heard was, just surrender it to God, because the doctors didn't know what to do. My parents didn't know what to do. My friends didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. Nobody knew what to do. And the only possibility was to surrender it to a higher power, and that's God, whatever people think God is. And for me, it's called God, and it was always my best friend. And so I completely surrendered the MS to God. I scooped everything up, like the symptoms, the fear, the immense fear that a lot of people have with MS or cancer or anything. And I want to say that what I'm talking about today works for anything. MS, cancer, AIDS, everything. It works for everything, how the body heals itself. So it's not just MS. So I scooped everything up and just surrendered it to God. I said, God, I give this to you to heal if that's what you want to do. Because I kept hearing a voice in my mind saying, this can be healed and you can do it. I thought, well, I love hearing that, but I have no idea how to heal this. Mm. And so I just said yes to it and healed it, or surrendered to God. And as soon as I did that, I surrendered to God, it just started healing. I could feel my body healing, and I felt light. The pain went away. The symptoms went away. It was just an amazing thing. And I just want to share that with people, to bring in the highest healing frequencies of love and God, into any situation, into an illness, an injury, a relationship. It heals everything. And so I did that and began healing. And then I completely surrendered it all and for 4 years. And that led me into layer by layer of things that needed to be healed in my life that I was unaware of. Because your body's natural state is to be healthy and well and whole all the time. And it's always trying to get back to that state. Mm-hmm. And we don't know that in this country. Other countries have known that for thousands of years, but we don't really know that or hear about that much in this country, that your body knows how to heal itself and is constantly trying to get back to its natural state of health and wellness. And it needs you, the person who's sick, to work with it and support it in that process and listen to what the body's saying and what it's telling you to do to heal. So if it tells you, don't eat that cookie, then don't eat that cookie.
Okay, Okay, got you. What were some of the symptoms that you experienced with your MS before you you went on your healing journey?
The first symptom I had, like I said, was loss of sight in my left eye.
Right.
And then I lost sight again. Well, they gave me the prednisone, and I didn't take prednisone again, and I lost sight in my eye again, and didn't take any medication, and the body just healed it. And the other symptoms after that was I had numbness in my arms and hands and extremities and feet and legs and the girdle of my body and just weakness and extreme fatigue. They call it MS fatigue, where you just feel like you're dying. It's like mm-hmm. your life force is just taken out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned how to work with that by bringing healing energy into that as well, and I got my energy back. So it was a process all the way along of how to heal each symptom that came up by learning how to love it. And so often in this country, we're taught to hate it, fear it, and fight it, and kill it, and these kind of low-frequency energies that really don't work. And I learned how to love it because one of the things that I learned when I surrendered everything to God was I got the message to love the illness and the symptoms and the fear and everything about it. And I thought, love it? I hate it. How can I love it?
Right, right.
And because it was so scary, and I thought, oh, how can I love this? But then I thought, you know, that kind of makes sense, because when you know someone that you care about or love that's sick or ill or injured, your instinctive reaction is to be loving and kind and patient with them. And I thought, well, that would kind of make sense that I do that for myself, and I started doing that for myself, and it made a huge difference. It just turned it around and started healing it. So sending love and God, whatever God is to whoever, whatever that form of God is, and sending those high-frequency healing energies into the illness and into the symptoms makes a huge difference.
Okay. Yes, you are right about people wanting to fight everything. In fact,
yeah.
We hear that all the time. Well, I'm going to fight this illness. I'm going to beat it. I'm going to visualize my immune system attacking, you know, this pathogen. And that's kind of the way we're set up here. I mean, you know, so this what you're suggesting is totally different.
Yeah. And it's, you know, they kill it, like kill that. And it's like, oh, it just hurts my heart to hear that. It's like, no, love the cancer because your body needs the love to heal. It doesn't need to be beaten up. It's already sick. It doesn't need more negative energy sent into it. It needs loving energy sent into it. And it makes a huge difference.
Okay.
So I'd love to, like, change that for our culture. Fight it, kill it, love it, like you would someone that you care about, you know?
Right. Well,
for you.
Let's talk about, because I'm a health professor and I'm also a Reiki healer, and so I do believe in the innate ability for us to heal. But activating that, now you said that you knew that you needed to do this, but you didn't know how to do it, and so you started off by surrendering, accepting, and love it. Is that the way that you would tell some person who was just diagnosed with something like MS to start off?
Yeah, I do. And I work with newly diagnosed people often, MS, cancer, anything, and they're so scared because of what the doctors have told them that, you know, there's no hope and it's incurable and there's nothing you can do. And I'm just here to say through my own experience, that's not true. There's so much you can do because the body knows how to heal itself. And so by starting out, by giving it positive, healing, loving energy, you know, just love it like you would – like people go, well, how do I love it? And I thought that too. How do I love this?
Yeah.
I kind of hate it.
Yeah.
It's like invading my body and it's making me miserable. How do I love that? And it's like, well, you could kind of shift it around and think of it as something that you would love. Like if you had a puppy, a little puppy, and it was sick, or a kitten, and I'm just using something, you know, small like that, and it was sick, you would love it. You would know to love it to help it heal, right? We kind of instinctively know that. And so kind of think of something that, or feel, this is a feeling process, not a thinking. You don't want to be in your head and think about it and analyze and figure it out and control it. You want to get out of your head and bring the energy into your heart, because in your heart you get the really deep, true answers that you need for healing. And so when you bring your awareness into your heart, and if you can't happen to get there either because of the situation, just feel something that you feel loving about. And take that, so you've activated the loving energy in your body, in your being. And when I say the body, I mean the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, energetic layers. It's the whole being. It's not just the physical body. And so you've activated that love energy in your body by just feeling love about something, like a person or a child or an animal, and send that love, because you've activated the loving energy, into your body, into mm-hmm. the symptom. So just try to bring up the energy of love, however you can do that. Mm-hmm. Like I used to put pictures on my wall in my bedroom that were of things that made me feel loving, mm-hmm. and nature is a very loving thing too. So I put pictures of nature on the wall, or pets or people that I love, and it would just inspire that loving energy to be activated. And then I would send that into my body and into the illness, right into the illness itself and into the symptoms themselves.
Wow, that's intense.
I tell people to kind of activate that.
That's amazing. I have an interesting question. Did you ever go back to your doctors that said that you were going to have to take these meds and it was going to be incurable and you're going to have it the rest of your life? Did you ever go back after you healed yourself?
No, that would just be futile. I thought that would be futile, you know, because they have their way of thinking about it. And their reality is that their only source of dealing with it is medication. Mm-hmm. And medication saves millions of lives a year. Sometimes mm-hmm. it works. Mm-hmm. But when they tell people that it's incurable, then people are left hopeless. And
right.
it's not the truth.
Right.
You know, it's not incurable. It's incurable in their way of working with it, because they don't have a drug for cancer. They don't have a drug for MS or AIDS. And so it is incurable in their world, but it's not incurable in the whole world, in the whole reality of life, in the universe. That's not true, because your body heals itself. And so I teach people how to activate their own innate ability to heal themselves, and they just have tremendous results, because your body wants to be well. It's trying every second of every day to heal you.
Right.
At this point, I don't want this MS. I don't want this cancer. Please help me heal. Listen to me, and I will tell you what to do. And it is so precise. Your body will tell you exactly what to do. Don't eat that. Don't be around that person. You know, and mm-hmm. and we don't listen to it. For the most part in this culture, if we do happen to hear our body talking to us, typically we kind of override it or ignore it, because maybe we do want to eat that cookie.
Yes.
But, you know, but if you want to heal, like, what's your priority here, the cookie or healing?
Right.
So, and your body is like yelling at you. Like when they gave me that drug, my body was screaming at me, don't ever give me that drug again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, okay, I won't.
Right.
And I had a horrible reaction to it.
Right.
So,
you know,
go ahead.
One of the things that I teach in my yoga class is to tell my students to listen to their bodies, and their bodies will tell them when they can go further or when they need uh-huh. to stop. And it's a good tool, because most of my students don't listen to, they're not even aware of what's going on in their body. They're so in the outside world with technology, right. without the demand. So it's really hard sometimes to get people to tune in and listen to what's going on in their bodies.
Well, yoga is wonderful, yoga and meditation, because it kind of quiets the mind, because that's where the problem is in the mind. It's always telling us the opposite of what we need to do to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I used to test this out. I saw this. I'm not a big sweet person, but I love chocolate cake. And there was this beautiful piece of chocolate cake sitting there, chocolate cake, chocolate frosting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking at it thinking, oh, I would love to have that. And my mind, I could hear my mind just, like, beating me up. Oh, how stupid that you think you could eat that, and why would you want that, and that's not going to help you heal, and But the mind can be really tough on us. And if you hear something coming in that's kind of beating on you, you know it's kind of like the ego mind that isn't in collaboration with your healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go into the heart, your heart will help you hear what you needed to hear. So I went to my heart because I didn't want to get beat up anymore by what my ego mind was telling me. And my heart said, a bite will do. I thought, wow, really? I can have a bite? But just a bite. Don't eat the whole cake. Don't eat the whole piece even.
Yeah.
Just have a bite. And that's all I needed. And I was satisfied. And because deprivation isn't good either.
Right.
That's, you know, the other side of healing. So, yeah, but you're right. Like, just people can get quiet and centered like you do with yoga, which is wonderful. I used to do a lot of yoga and meditation. And just get centered and listen to your body. And you can just ask, like, feel your body. Don't think it. But the way you connect to it is by feeling it and just feel how your body feels. And the people go, yeah, but it feels awful. And I'm like, well, that's okay. Just say yes to that, because yes opens the energy. And yes is not, yes, I want more of this awful feeling. Yes is, you're just acknowledging that you feel that way and you're not fighting your body. Because if you're trying to push the feeling away, then it contracts it and closes it so it can't heal. But if you say yes to it, it opens the energy and allows the energy to flow so that it can begin to heal, because that's what your body's trying so hard to do, is to heal you.
Right, right. Sometimes we just need to get out of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, getting out of the way is a big deal.
Right. Well, it sounds like you made some dietary changes just innately. Now, now, do you, with the people you work with, do you tell them to do the same, or do you actually tell them the kinds of foods that they should and should not eat?
Sometimes, very little, I tell them what they should and shouldn't eat, like saturated fats is really bad for MS. But for the most part, I try to teach them how to listen to their body, because everybody's body needs something different to heal. And I had one client that I was dealing with, and her body kept telling her to eat, I think it was spinach, and just a while ago. And she kept eating, or whatever it was, and it kept changing. She kept eating whatever it was that her body was telling her to eat. And she healed within 3 months, totally symptom-free, because she kept listening to what her body was telling her to do, and so she healed. And it was, hers was food-related. Some people, it's relationship-related. Maybe they have kind of toxic energy from people around them. And like for me, I had a very abusive situation in my life, and I moved from Colorado to California to get away from it, because I knew that I couldn't heal and be around that energy. And so that was kind of extreme to have to move from that far. It wasn't just down the street. It was like from Colorado to California. But I also knew California had flowers and the things had the energy that I wanted to heal. And I always tell my clients to listen to your body, because it will tell you, like, what to eat or not eat. And it'll tell you the people to be around or not be around. Or if it's tired, relax. You know, if your body says, I need to sit down for 10 minutes, then do that and be in collaboration with your body and working with your body so that it can heal, because it's trying so hard and it needs you to be with it, working with it as a support system and doing what it tells you to do rather than you telling it what to do, because you don't know.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We are just about out of time, so I know that you have a lot of resources for people, and you have a new book coming out, Heal Your Body, Heal Your Life. So can you please tell us about your website and some of the other products that you have available?
Yeah. So my website is msalternativehealingcenter.com, and it has a tremendous amount of information in there, both text information, and I have 16 videos that I'm putting on the website right now, so you can just sit and watch them and listen to them, and it gives you information. And I'm constantly putting new information into the website. I'm setting it up so that you can set up healing sessions with me and pay for them on the website. And there's just a lot of resources there for you, because I am so dedicated, my whole life is dedicated to helping people heal these illnesses, because I've been there, and fortunately, by the grace of God, I got to the other side of it. And there's specific things that you need to do, and it's not a mental thing. Like I said, it's a feeling thing. It's a loving, healing, God-filled, if God is okay with you or whatever that is for you. But there's all these energies in the universe that exist and that we naturally have within us. We have everything within us that we need to heal. Mm-hmm. And so through this website, I do a lot of work and really helping people to help themselves, because there's so many people with these illnesses, and they have no idea what to do with it. And they have no hope anymore, and they think that they're stuck for the rest of their lives, and it's not the case.
Right, right. Well, again, that's msalternativehealingcenter.com, correct?
Right, and my email is healingms@yahoo.com.
Yeah, healingms@yahoo.com,
okay. My email.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today, Christine. You know, just beautiful information to share with everyone.
Thank you. I just hope this helps a lot of people. It's my pleasure to do this. Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
Environmentally sound for your mind. HRNradio.com.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. It's time for Shark to Heart. And today I want to talk about risk factors that are controllable, because as I'm doing research for my new book, Take on Aging as a Sport, I'm coming across different risk factors that are very consistent in a lot of chronic diseases that we have here in the United States. And I'm sure you know that the number one cause of death in the United States for both men and women is heart disease. And there are some risk factors that we cannot control, like age, gender, race, medical history, and genetic predispositions. But there are a lot more that we can control, which makes a lot of heart disease preventable. And so, and it's not just heart disease. And when I'm looking at these risk factors, I'm seeing them also come up with things like cancer, with autoimmune diseases, with Alzheimer's. And so, with the new year coming at us, I thought, gosh, instead of, you know, having people go, okay, well, for my New Year's resolution, I'm going to get a new job, or I'm going to make more money, or I'm going to get out of debt, or I'm going to lose weight, you know, all these things that we typically throw at ourselves as New Year's resolutions. I thought, well, why not make a suggestion to maybe start taking control of some of these risk factors? So next year and every year after could be healthy years for us instead of years of decline. And so here are some of the risk factors that are controllable. And the first one, the most insidious one, is smoking. And I know that we have made a dent in smoking in the last few years as people get a little bit more educated about, you know, what smoking causes in terms of our health. But it, when I was growing up, everybody smoked. I mean, it was like the adult thing to do. We had the Marlboro Man. Even Fred Flintstone was smoking in the cartoons. I remember his little slogan, Winston tastes good like a snap, snap cigarette should. And, you know, none of these people knew that it was that dangerous. And it wasn't until we started getting all these increases in lung cancer, oral cancer, and heart disease, and we kind of related it to, oh my gosh, a lot of these things are caused by cigarette smoke. And so I remember when I was young, I was about 10 years old, and my grandparents smoked. And when we went over to their house, it was like being in the fog. There was so much smoke in there. And my grandfather developed laryngeal cancer and had to have his larynx removed and ended up with a hole in his throat called a stoma. And, you know, his voice obviously was affected. And then he ended up with cancer around his lip and tongue and had to go back into the hospital to have surgery. And when I went in to see him, and my grandpa was so fun. I mean, he just used to joke around and just, you know, was such a happy guy. And when I went in to see him, his mouth was bandaged up and he was smoking through his stoma. And I never got that picture out of my head. And I remember being upset, and I said to my dad, why is Grandpa still smoking through the hole in his throat? And he said, because he can't stop. And I knew at that point that was something I never wanted to do, you know, because it's so addictive. And at least now we recognize that. And so we have more smoking programs, cessation smoking programs now than ever to help people stop smoking. But along with that, all of a sudden, along comes e-cigarettes and vaping. And we're told that it's safer. Well, maybe we don't have the particulate material that goes in the lungs, but you know what? It's full of nicotine, and nicotine is the drug that is so dangerous, especially for our heart, and it has the same relapse rate as heroin. And so, anyway, I just wanted, the number one thing that you can do if you smoke is to make a resolution to make this the year that you're going to quit. The second, risk factor is stress. And we all have stress. We all have stress. And I read a book just a couple weeks ago. It's really a cool book. It's by Robert Sapolsky. He's a professor at Stanford University. And he wrote a book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. And he's so cute. The way that he explains it is in the animal world, you know, when they have a chase, like he uses the example of a lion chasing a zebra, you know, they're fighting, they're running for their lives. One is for food and the other one is to get away so it doesn't become food. And after the chase is over, you know, if the zebra survived and the lion didn't get its prey or whatever, they just go back to being normal. I mean, it's not like the zebra sits there and starts to obsess, oh, I wonder if that lion's coming back, or plotting on how to hurt the lion or its family, you know. I mean, they just go back to being normal. And unfortunately, that's not what we do. We're all equipped with the flight or flight syndrome, just like the animals. But unfortunately, we get into chronic stressors, and I call those neurotic stressors. You know, we a lot of times just obsess about things. We spend a lot of time in the past, a lot of times in the future. We take a look at situations and we color them negatively, things that don't really have to be colored negatively. I mean, we don't have to look at everything as being bad. And so, you know, learning how to control stressors is really, really important, because stress is a risk factor for almost every disease that is out there. The next one is lack of activity, currently known as sitting disease. Now, our bodies need movement and our heart needs exercise just like our other muscles. But today's lifestyle is pretty sedentary. We sit at a desk, work on a computer. And so it's important then that we find activities that not only make us feel great, that we enjoy. Because, you know, exercise helps with weight loss, helps to make new nerve cells, connection in your brain, prevents chronic disease, helps manage stress. And I ask my students, I go, if I had a pill that promised all those things and didn't have any side effects, would you take it? And they're kind of looking at me kind of funny, and I go, well, here are the directions. You take this pill every day before exercising for 30 minutes. And they look at me kind of like I'm crazy. And then they realize it's not the pill, it's the directions. Just doing something active for at least 30 minutes every day. And it's really not hard to find things, you know, especially things that we enjoy. The next one is obesity. And unfortunately, we have a society where we have a lot of obesity. And being obese doesn't necessarily mean too much weight. It's extra fat, which is a load on the whole cardiovascular system. Two people could actually weigh the same. One could be fat and the other fit, because muscle is more dense than fat. And fat's kind of like marshmallows. Muscles are like bricks. And so instead of using the scale, I always tell my students to do a body composition test if they're concerned about obesity. And I have this little machine that I use with them. It's called a bioelectrical impedance machine. And I use that one of my students. And so they usually like that feedback. And there's others, but one that I wanted to really point out is chronic inflammation, because this is when our immune system attacks our body. And there's over 100 autoimmune diseases, and most inflammation is linked to toxins, pesticides, and the kinds of chemicals we have in our food. And so there's another reason for us to try to eat more whole foods instead of processed foods. And so for this year, make a resolution to take charge of the risks you can't control. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
We are back with more Pep Talk. And next up is Femi Ogunjimdi, a relationship expert for Examiner.com, a radio talk show host, and the author of Revelations of Relationship. Also known as GFEM, he was recognized as the best outspoken and motivational speaker by the Dale Carnegie Public Speaking School, and he is known for turning conventional relationship advice upside down. So welcome, GFEM.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Right. Well, before we get started, how do you say your last name? I've been practicing that. I don't think I got it out right. How do you say your last name?
I was actually surprised that you pronounced it right, because most people butcher my name. Yes, you did. I got it.
Ogunjimdi. Oh, wow. Because I'm sitting there going, oh, I'm just going to batch this. And so, okay, well, good. Well, I'll just call you GFEM, okay?
good.
Okay, that's good. All right. Well, when I met you in New York City at the National Publicity Summit and heard that you're a relationship expert, I asked you to give me your best pickup line, and it was good. Do you remember it?
Yes, I remember it. I told you if you meet a woman, you might tell her there's an angel missing in heaven.
Okay, you do have good pickup lines, I got to admit. And so how did you get into helping people with relationships?
It started many, many years ago, and many, many years ago is relative to many people. For me, it's almost over 10 years now. I started talking to my friends about their relationships, giving them advice how to identify the right person, how to talk to the right person, and how to carry a good conversation that can lead to potential relationship.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one time that I was going to a party with a friend of mine, and I saw a girl at the club, and the guy approached her, and I knew the guy. I knew the guy was just full of stuff, you know, he wasn't real. And at the end of their conversation, because I was watching closely, the girl gave him her number. And a friend of mine that was next to me, I was telling him that I don't think this guy is for real. I think he has a wrong intention at mind, and he was able to talk his way to get the girl's number. So on my way home, my friend and I were having a dialogue about what had happened. And I told him, I think I'm going to start doing a radio show that I will begin to give women advice and begin to reveal all the dirty secrets of men, and so that men use to get a woman and sleep with them and just dump them. So it began with having that kind of revelation through some episode that I saw at a club, and I decided that I'm going to start and actually getting involved in doing a show that I will begin to express and begin to tell people what kind of secrets, you know, men have. And from that, it turns into not just revealing men's secrets, but actually helping both men and women in their relationship.
Okay, well, I'm interested, since I'm a woman, and I've been married for a long time, but what are some of the secrets of men? What do they use on us? Come on, give us a couple.
Okay.
Let
me say, this is the most difficult issue that men have. We don't actually express ourselves very well. We don't let you guys know what we are going through, what we are thinking. We tell you what you want to hear, but not actually what the real deal is. So we can tell you, you know, we love you, we care about you, because we know women love to hear that. What kind of woman would want to hear that? A guy loves me, he cares about me. But caring about a woman is not just mere words. You got to back it up with action. And most men, we don't do that. All we do is we express the words, and then we probably take you to some kind of restaurant, we spend $50 on you, and we think that's just it. And we bring you to our apartment, to our house, and before you know, we started knocking boots. And your friends will now be telling you that, hey, girlfriend, he's not the right guy for you. He's sleeping with that one, sleeping with the other person. But you're like, no, he told me that he cares about me. He told me that he loves me. But love doesn't just come with mere words. So that is one of the secrets of men, that we don't really reveal how we feel. We just let you know what would take you guys to let us in into your world.
So you're just trying to blow us over with words, right?
Absolutely. That's basically what it is. We tell you sweet words. We tell you nice words, lovely words. You know, we can tell you are the sugar in my tea, you are the butter on my bread. You know, all these lovely words that we use, they're not for real. I mean, guys are trying to get into your pants.
Guys
are real. But I'm just saying, but for guys that really want to get into your pants, they have to say those words.
Okay, so you're telling women that we shouldn't just be listening to words. We need to look at your actions, right?
Yes, you need to look at the action. You need to spend more time with the guy, because time will reveal the guy's intention.
Okay.
If a guy really cares about you, if he loves you, he will be patient with you. He will listen to what you also have to offer. You know, not, when you start picking up a guy, telling you, you are beautiful, you are beautiful. All the compliments that is given to you is all about how beautiful you are, your physical self. Then you know that all he wants is just your body. He has not discovered anything else about you. Are you smart? Are you intelligent? You know, does he tell you about the future, what he has in store for you, the kind of plans that he wants to have with you? If he's not giving you all that details, then all the compliment he gives to you is how good you look. Come on now. You are more than that.
Yeah.
You are more than your physical attraction.
Okay. Okay. Got that. Okay. You know, but women do like compliments, but you know, I think you're right. If that's all he's saying to us, you know, he has no depth. He has no real interest in, he's not really interested in a relationship, a long-term relationship, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So that's, okay. So that's one secret. Okay. You know, the New Year's coming up, GFAM, and a lot of people for New Year's resolutions would like maybe to find a new relationship or maybe spice up an old one. What are some tips that you would give couples to do that?
Well, this is a great time to rekindle your love. A lot of couples will spend time together during this holiday, and it's very important to look inwardly and see what can I do differently in my relationship that will bring us together more, that will strengthen the bond in this relationship. One thing that you can do is, as a man, you want to really pay attention to your woman. You want to find out what your woman enjoys,
okay,
what she likes the best. You see, at times, women will make the mistake that, you know, once we just give the woman sex, that is it. No. There is more to sex.
Mm-hmm.
For a man, how we connect might be sex. For a woman, listening is how she wants to connect with you.
Uh-huh. Okay.
She wants you to pay attention to what is going on in her life. So listening, relaxing yourself, paying attention to her, and getting her to talk. Because in talking is where a woman finds her identity.
Right.
That is what you can do from a man's perspective to a woman. As a woman, be a little bit more submissive to your man. When he says something, kind of yield to it. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, a man should be controlling and you should just, you know, not have a say or whatever is going on in the relationship. I'm saying that offer your opinion, but at the same time, if he says, let's do it this way, yield to his interest.
Okay, well, you know what, GFAM, we're going to have to take a short break. But when we come back, you know, we're going to get a little bit more into how we can spice up a relationship. And then also I want you to go into where a person might be looking for a new one. You know, how do they pick the one that would be right for them? Are you ready for that when we come back?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll be back right after this with GFAM.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and I'm here with GFAM, and he is a relationship expert. And we've been talking a little bit about healthy relationships and what makes relationships work. And before the break, GFAM, we were talking about how we can spice up a relationship that might be getting a little dull. And you were saying that men need to really listen, and I agree with that. But then you were talking about women being more submissive. Now, I'm not so sure about that one. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Absolutely, I can do that. You see, submission does not mean that a man controls you.
Yeah, I'm not up for that.
It's far from that. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, good.
I'm saying that in a relationship, a man has the total authority to make a decision in the relationship.
Okay.
Not to say that the woman doesn't have a say. You have a say. Bring your ideas to the table. But most times, a man, because of the way he's wired, he wants to make that decision. He wants to have the final say. So give it to him. Let him be a man.
Right.
That is his job. Let him do that. Don't give him your opinion, but let him say, we are going to go with option A or we are going to go with option B. Leave that decision up to him. Let him make that. Because that's what makes him feel like a man.
Okay.
Would you like somebody to strangle you and not make you feel like the kind of person that you are? You will want that. So you want to also feel like a woman. And you want your partner to feel like a man as well. So These are the differences between a man and a woman, and this is how we become or get into our identity.
Okay, yeah. So men are pretty autonomous. Men like to be, you know, they're Mr. Fix-Its, right? So,
yes.
Okay, gotcha. Well, let's talk a little bit about, for people who might be single out there that are looking for a new mate maybe this year. And you're suggesting that we choose our mate the same way we choose our job? Really? Why?
Well, when you choose your mate the same way you choose your job, one thing that is special about that is you just don't make a random decision. You make a decision with an intent, and you have already gone through the right processes to make that kind of decision. You are well informed about the person that you are choosing to spend the rest of your life with. Let me go further with that. Let's use a situation of a company trying to employ an individual. The company will schedule an interview with that potential employee.
Mm-hmm.
During that interview, they ask a series of questions to know what the person is all about. They do background check on the person to see if you can fit into the culture.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing you have to employ when you are trying to identify who your partner is going to be. You have to meet with that person. You have to go on a series of dates to uncover a lot of information about that person, about the prospect. And you got to ask the right questions. What is your name? Is that your real name? What school did you attend? How many years of education did you have? What do you like to do in life? What are your interests? What do you like? What do you dislike? If you were to die today, do you have money for your life insurance? You don't. How much loan do you have?
Those are important questions.
Exactly. You know, you don't want to be getting in a relationship with a stranger. You want to know the answers to those questions.
Yeah, I know, especially the last two.
That's important.
Oh, that's important. Yeah, I don't want to be supporting anybody. Yeah, so.
In this day and age where everybody is independent, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think we kind of are. And so one of the things that I thought was interesting with your information is that you say that men cheat with ugly women. What's up with that?
Man, I'm sorry to buzz the bubble on this one. Yes, men do cheat with ugly women. And UGLY is an acronym for understanding, gratifying, loving, and yielding women. Yielding women. You see, we men, we love to be with a woman that is understanding. You see, when you are with a guy, especially that is busy working, he has a 9-to-5 at the same time, he has a side also somewhere, and maybe he's involved with other organizations, he's a busy guy. But even though he still wants to, you know, spend time with you, and it's important to spend time with your partner, but he's busy. So we are looking for a woman that can understand that we don't have 24 hours that can be dedicated to you. We have things going on as well. And the time that we have with you, you should cherish those moments. Again, I'm not saying that a man shouldn't spend time with you. He should spend adequate time with you. But we have other things. We are driven because we want to provide, you know, food on the table. Money is always constantly on our mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the time that we spend with you, we want a woman that can understand that we don't have all the time in the world to spend with you. So that little time that we do spend, appreciate it.
Okay.
And that leads to gratifying as well, because you are grateful that this guy can still spend 2 hours with me. He can still take time out of his busy schedule, out of his busy day, to call me, to text me, to think about me, and possibly buy, you know, gift for me. Be grateful to those moments. You want me to continue, or you got a question for me?
Oh, okay. Well, another thing that you have that I was interested in, you say you can turn your partner's weakness into your relationship's greatest strength. Seriously? How does that work?
All right. Let me share that with you.
Yes.
A man's weakness is sex. We love sex.
Okay.
We can have sex all day. We're good with that because of our high testosterone.
Okay.
So we love sex. That's scientifically proven. Now, if you are a woman and you know your man's weakness is sex, don't you want to capitalize on that and not deprive him of his weakness, of what he enjoys the best? You want to do that. So when he is horny, you don't want to turn him down and say, no, not today, I'm weak, oh, you know, I'm tired, I just got back from work, I'm having headache, I'm having backache. You just listen to all kinds of complaints, all kinds of reasons for you not to get in bed with him.
Okay.
When you keep doing that, you are pushing him away. You are pushing him outside. So that is a man's weakness that you can capitalize on to make it your own strength. And for the woman, a woman has a weakness. Women love to talk.
Okay. All right.
Women love to talk.
Yeah, so you need to listen. Yes, you need
exactly.
to listen. Thank you.
You need to listen to a woman.
Yes.
That is how you can capitalize on it. Because if you are not listening, trust me, somebody else is giving her the attention of the day.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, well, GFM, we're just about out of time. So tell us your website and where we can get your ebook and all that good stuff.
Thank you for that opportunity. My website is gfemspeaks.com. That is G-F-E-M, speaks with an S, .com.
Okay.
And you can find my book on it, and my book is also on Amazon, Revelations of Relationship, What You Don't Know About Finding True Love and Sustaining Relationship. You can find that on Amazon, and it's on Barnes & Noble as well. It's available both in ebook and hard copy.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, GFM. We had a great time with you, and you had some great suggestions. So happy holidays to you.
Thank you very much, Rocky. Happy holiday yourself.
Thank you. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pep Talk. And to my special guests, Christine Albright and GFM. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman. Happy holidays. And here's to you and a shark.